Hey everybody, I'm Geek Soul Brother, and some of you know me, but some of you are new to me. I'm an older geek, and I used to have a podcast, and now I'm bringing a podcast again. I want to introduce you to my new show, Your Fandom Fix. It's a show about movie reviews and TV show reviews and commentaries, and even some social commentary that I would love to discuss concerning community and stuff like that. But this is a show for nerds and geeks and blurs, just an uplifting show where we can talk about everything that we love, our different fandoms, without any gatekeeping or anything like that, but just appreciation of different fandoms. You can find my show on Spotify, but you can also find it on the Urban Socialites NJ.com, which has a live radio station. And their radio station is called the Indie Live Music Radio. So you can catch me on there at 6 p.m., but you can also catch me on Spotify. And I'll also put the show on different podcast platforms, so you can catch me everywhere on the internet. But definitely check out UrbanSocialitesNJ.com and find the Indie Live Music Radio link, and you can definitely hear me there. 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, who's Geek Soul Brothers? Some of you guys know. I got a lot of followers on Twitter, and I'm a little known in the blurred community, the black nerd community, and I've been doing this for a while. I had a show a long time ago. I had a show a few years ago, and I had passed it on to my co-host, the Nerdy Venoms. Shout outs to the Nerdy Venoms. They took up the flame and kept on with the show. They took up the torch and kept on with the show. So they've been carrying it on ever since. But I wanted to stop for a while, do some other things, and I want to also get back on the mic. My friends have been asking me to get back on the mic for a while. So here I am, my new show, Your Fandom Fix. I am a older black guy, you know, grew up in the East Coast of the United States, and I loved looking at sci-fi movies and TV shows and stuff like that back in the day. As I was growing up, I grew up in the 70s, and I've just always been attracted to like fantastic storytelling, fantastic things, and you know, TV shows and movies, stuff like that. My parents, they introduced me to a lot of things. And then I got to meet friends, and of course, everything grew from there. I love art. I love fantasy art. I love comics. You know, gaming I'm not big on, but I do love the art form of gaming. I do love the interaction of gaming. So I would love to have a couple of my friends come in as guest co-hosts and kind of talk about some of the new games coming out and stuff like that. But you'll hear me give some movie reviews, a lot of movie reviews, a lot of TV reviews, and just things happening in the geek community, but definitely from a black nerd perspective. This is an all-encompassing podcast. I invite everybody to give comments about it, to give feedback on it. You can find me on all social media, Geek Soul Brother. Anything, Geek Soul Brother on Twitter, Instagram, anything you want. Now, I have to start off this show by saying that we've had such a tough past couple years. It was politically tough. It was, you know, health-wise with COVID and everything, and we're still dealing with COVID. We're still dealing, going down the Greek alphabet, dealing with COVID. We got the Delta. We got Omicron. Which really sounds like people joke of. I mean, it's nothing to joke about, but people talk about it sounding like a transformer, which is true. It really does sound like a transformer. I don't know where they're getting a lot of the names from, but now we're dealing with variants that, you know, before we only dealt with mutations as a main topic in the mainstream, we've only dealt with mutations a lot when it came to like the X-Men or something like that, comic books and fantasy shows and stuff like that. Now we're dealing with mutations of viruses, which are very dangerous. It's just been a tough year, and you know, I'm just glad we had some type of mental place that we could go to. Like I said, I'm a geek, so I don't always use escapism, science fiction as escapism, but I'm just glad that I can enjoy some of the things. I was hurt that the theaters, of course they needed to be, but I was hurt that the theaters had shut down as well as everything else that shut down during COVID. But I did enjoy some things that came on streaming. So many things that came on streaming and whatnot, TV shows, and a lot of movies that were just a surprise, surprise hits. And the streaming, I guess the business of streaming just blew up even more because of COVID and because people had to stay home. So, but I was also glad when the movies came back. I do ask you guys out there, you know, that are really affected by COVID, or rather they need to protect themselves against COVID, I ask you guys to really be careful going into the theaters, going into a lot of public spaces. You know, there's nothing wrong with keeping your mask on. I've been keeping my mask on. My job in the daytime, I keep my mask on all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. Even if you have the vaccine, you can still pass it on. So, I don't know. We're just going to have this a while longer, and the faster that we can just protect ourselves and each other, the better. For those of you guys that believe in it, because I know some of you guys think it's conspiracy, and I'm sure there's some stuff behind it. I don't know what, but I'm sure that there's some things behind it that just aren't known to the public. But the things that we do know is that viruses are dangerous, COVID virus dangerous, and we just have to continue to protect ourselves. Which brings me to a recent news thing talking about the Anime Con that happened like 2.5 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago. And now they're finding out that somebody there had the Omicron virus, the Omicron version of COVID. And it's very contagious, evidently. So I don't know. People need to test themselves and make sure that they're okay. You don't want to spread it around, and you don't want to, you know, hurt anybody or let yourself get hurt or whatever. But I don't know. The Anime Con looked great. I didn't get a chance to go, but a lot of people went to go. I got a chance to talk with my boy on the phone, David Crownson. He is the writer of the Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer series. It's a comic book series. It's really good. What if Harry Tubman was not just fighting racists in the Deep South trying to rescue her fellow enslaved Africans, but what if she was fighting demons and vampires and stuff like that also? So his book is really good. His comic book series is really good. And David's a great guy. Always funny on the internet, always funny on Instagram and so forth, and really great to talk to. I want to get him as one of my first interviews. I'm really looking forward to doing that. So yeah, definitely check it out. But AnimeCon looked really great. Everybody came with their A game as far as I could see. The cosplaying and people just enjoying themselves, people getting into character. I was really surprised that, or not surprised, but I was really impressed that everybody really just had a good time. And it was interesting that they separated from the New York Comic Con, which was a little bit earlier back in October. And of course, everybody seemed to have enjoyed that. So I'm glad, again, it's important that everybody protects themselves against COVID and so forth, but it's great to see everybody starting to enjoy themselves and some things opening up. and just people getting into, like I said, getting into their fandoms and enjoying things that they really like and really have a passion for. Now, I'd like to talk about another thing that I saw in the news not too long back, earlier this week. Do you guys know about these living robots that they developed, that these United States scientists developed? Living robots. Tiny little living robots, less than a millimeter in size. Very tiny, you know, multi-celled type of... They're calling them robots, but they're organic. They're made out of organic material. They're made out of the cells of some frogs. And they are built... basically a supercomputer would come up with designs for the cells so that the cells could move in a certain way. They would use heart cells and skin cells. The heart cells would move as heart cells do. They're made to move, and the skin cells would stay the same. So you would have like this cellular form that on the bottom of it would be the moving cells, so they would move around. You know, around a different way. And you can design these, like, you can design the cells in different shapes. It's kind of like putting living cell Legos together, you know, them Lego kits where you can build robots and stuff like that. But these are living cells, tiny living cells. The problem is these scientists evidently still have not paid attention to Terminator or The Matrix or... a couple hundred other stories about robots just getting out of hand and going out and killing humanity. It's just incredible what they do. I understand that, you know, scientists are trying to make robots so that they can help human beings, but yeah, no, you're now talking about robots made out of living tissue. And here's the thing. When cells get together, I forget what it's called, but it's like unforeseen behaviors when cells get together. So what if a billion of these little tiny robots get together and create some unforeseen behavior like consciousness? What are we going to do then? I don't know. Obviously, the medical possibilities are great. The potential for these little cells to be in people's bodies and basically heal you from a stroke or heal you from a clogged heart, stuff like that. Sure, that would be awesome. That's the same thing they want to do with nanites and stuff like that. And we've had plenty of stories about nanites going crazy and stuff like that. I just think it's the fear of the unknown when you talk about science fiction and you talk about what these things may do that you didn't foresee coming. It's interesting in simplicity that you have these cells that just have, you know, little moving parts and little stationary parts. But the possibilities are endless, as the scientists are saying. Possibilities are endless in the medical field and probably engineering and everything else. I just don't want to hear about them. The latest news is that they have, they basically, the cells, right? The xenobots, there's some other creature in science fiction with the name Xeno in it that we're that I'm sure that you guys might know in the geek culture, the aliens from the Alien series, but the Xenobots that they call these little robots, they've created a new way to reproduce by basically bunching random smaller cells together, and then those cells create more Xenobots. So that's scary in itself. And I think they need to just pay attention to what's going on, the scientists. And also there's an ethical question. Like, are these robots, are these cells, if they group them together to do bigger tasks, if they ever get some type of consciousness, this is also the argument with AI. If artificial or artificially made material is engineered in a way that it gains consciousness, is that some type of life form that also should have rights, especially if it's an intelligent consciousness. My opinion, of course, yes, you gotta have some rights. You can't have robot slaves all over the place and they have consciousness and stuff like that. You're talking about Star Trek Next Generation, the episode where Data was on trial whether he was alive or not. So you're gonna have that. And I, you know, truthfully, to me, science fiction represents, I say it on my Twitter account, science fiction represents a roadmap for where humanity should go and shouldn't go as far as their ethics and their morals, because as we progress, science fiction basically becomes fact. And if that's the case, then we have to deal with some of these moral issues now before they get out of hand. We know corporations are going to go with the, you know, we'll call them whatever we need to call them so that we can use them. Just, you know, that just happens. Political and just the human environment will basically have to deal with how they define artificially created life forms. But these little xenobots, I don't know, they're just, now they're reproducing, they're just gathering up, they're scooping up random cells that they're made out of and bunching them together into more of themselves. That's the ingredients for good sci-fi horror, I'm sorry to say. But you know, we'll just keep track of that little story here and there. Again, I just want to shout out, you're listening to the Indie Live Music Radio and my show, Your Fandom Fix, and I'm Geek Soul Brother. I've been wanting for a long time to talk about the ranking of Marvel films, and I'm gonna get into some reviews. This year we've had Black Widow and The Eternals as far as the MCU films, but we've also had Venom and we had a few others, and Spider-Man's coming up and so forth. And I've been for a long time wanting to rank every Marvel film, not just the MCU, but every film that's been based on Marvel comics, whether you're talking about the X-Men or Spider-Man or Punisher or the Avengers or Blade or anything like that. I've been wanting to rank the Marvel films, Marvel-based universe. I guess I could call it that. Not the cinematic universe, but the Marvel cinematically comic book-based universe. Something like that. I don't know. You guys can make an acronym. Somebody make a nice acronym and send it back to me. There's 66 films, starting with Howard the Duck. There's 66 films. Howard the Duck came out in the 80s. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. There will be 66 films once Spider-Man No Way Home comes out, which comes out this December, so it shouldn't be long. I'll definitely go and see that. The tickets are selling out right now, so I don't know when I'm going to see it. I'm going to try and see it that weekend. But there's 66 films altogether. And I've just been wanting to kind of make a list for myself, but also for you guys out there. I've been wanting to make a list of what I think is the best and what I think is worst and so forth. Now, I gotta say, I'm struggling a little bit because I think my top favorite, well, my top favorite films are definitely Avengers Endgame. I've always liked the Avengers. Infinity War was great. But then you gotta throw in Winter Soldier in there. Captain America Winter Soldier. That was a game changer. That's when you knew these films could carry the weight of a drama, you know. And it wasn't about superheroes and capes, and it wasn't about all these different things that they kind of like these cliche, you know, not kiddie, because I don't think the Marvel universe has been kiddish too much, but you know, things that you may not take seriously at first. Captain America Winter Soldier, that brought it up. That brought it up a notch, you know. So I'm a little undecided. My top one, I think, is Endgame, because we saw some incredible things in there as far as, and I'm not going to spoil it. If you guys haven't seen any of these movies, I don't want to spoil them too much. I'm giving you some time to watch, especially the new movies, but Endgame, it has some things in there. Of course, you know, Thanos was a villain, and you saw some things with Thor, you saw some things with the Hulk and Captain America and stuff. It's really touching to the heart. So I think that was probably the strongest Marvel comic based film that we've seen so far. Avengers to me is going to be a special place in my heart, because since I was a kid, I've been wanting to see the Avengers in a live action. The Avengers, let me count it. Let me say, I wanted to see the Avengers, Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man in some type of movie. When I was growing up in the 70s, we had some of this stuff on TV. We had a lot of TV shows. There was a terrible looking Spider-Man TV show. The Hulk was okay. Shout out to Lou Ferrigno too. He's always going to have a special place in fandom as far as, you know, playing the Hulk and whatnot. And you have, you even had, I know you guys, a lot of you guys aren't as old as I am, but if you guys could go back and look up the Doctor Strange TV movie, because back in the day they used to make TV movies, and they actually had a Doctor Strange TV movie. And yeah, it was bad, you know, comparatively. You didn't have CG back then. You had these traditional graphics and stuff like that, but it was bad. Now, I'm not including TV movies in the ranking. These are only the cinematic, anything that came out in the theater, basically. So the Marvel comic based cinematic universe, okay, which to me is every movie that came out since Howard the Duck. I believe Howard the Duck was the first. And if you guys go back and see Captain America 1944 or something like that, if you see that, that's not actually a movie. It's a serial that was, it was a series of shorts that were put together as a movie. So I'm not including that. I'm going to include Howard the Duck as the first film. But you go back and you watch some of that stuff, it's pretty great. It's pretty great, and you know, it's corny, but it's great in this nostalgia. Avengers Endgame. I'll give you my top 10 real quick. Avengers Endgame, number one. For now, it might change. I'm going to ponder this a little bit. Who knows? No Way Home might be the best. Who knows? Avengers Endgame, the Avengers, then Avengers Infinity War. And the reason I put Avengers second is, like I said, you had Captain America, you had Iron Man fighting Thor, you had Thor and Iron Man fighting, Captain America had intervened, and then you had the Hulk in it. It showed the helicarrier for the first time. It showed what Hawkeye it just had so much in that movie, like these first time images that I couldn't get over it. Then you had Infinity War. Infinity War was great. It was the second time that we saw Wakanda, and we saw what Wakanda could do. And you got even more proud of the fact that Wakanda, granted a made-up country in Africa, but you got more proud as you saw the warriors in Wakanda go against these aliens, and they were unfazed. They did not care who was coming. All they knew was somebody was trying to get into Wakanda, and they weren't having it. Then you had Captain America Winter Soldier. Such a good story. Such a free... I'm telling you guys out there that aren't really into, you know, the comic book movies, I understand that not every fandom is for everybody. That's what we got to understand. Not every fandom is for everybody. Not everything in the geek culture is for everybody. We have different people that love different things, and you still can be a geek. Just because you don't like superhero movies doesn't mean that you ain't a nerd, that you ain't, you know, equal to any other nerd or geek or whatever you want. You can be proud of whatever passions that you got. That's fine. A lot of nerds don't like Star Wars, but they do like Marvel stuff. A lot of people like Star Wars and may not like Star Trek or something like that. You know, there's varying degrees of stuff, and nobody has to be gatekeeping, or nobody has to be basically labeling another person as inferior in their geek universe or whatever you want to call it. Captain America Winter Soldier, though, I would recommend that to anybody. Everybody would like that. It's so dramatic. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Now, I'm battling with this because I can watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse over and over again. And I'm telling you, I love that. It's just something about it. And then when you look at the makings of it and how they made the animation based on comics from like the 60s and 70s, especially when the inking wasn't perfectly lined up, and you see in the animation how the inking's not lined up, but as the animation progresses, things get better. That was a great watch, and I can watch that over and over again. Black Panther, of course, is going to be in my top 10. And here's something that I didn't expect for myself, but when I started thinking about my list, it just made sense. Blade is definitely in my top 10. Why? You tell me Blade was not a great movie. You can sit there if you want to, but you can't tell me that Blade was not a well-made film based on a Marvel character. Wesley Snipes killed that role, that sword, the coat, the gun, the flying blade that he had. Everything came together. His tattoo, his haircut, his shades. Let me tell you something. I bought a few figures, action figures, you know, in the packages and stuff like that. Collected them, like, you know, past 20 years, I've collected a few here and there. I know my family would probably laugh at me hearing this because it's more than a few. But anyway, that Blade figure, that came, Marvel Legends Blade figure, that's like one of my favorite. It came with everything, and I just love it, and I love the movie. So when I started thinking about my top 10, I had to include Blade in there. Captain America Civil War comes after that, just seeing all the heroes fight. And then here's a surprise. I had to think about this. This might change too, but for now, Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings, let me tell you guys something. That's a good daggone movie. That is a feel-good movie that turns into an Asian fantasy film filled with kung fu, filled with martial arts. And I'm telling you, it's got some of the best elements to put together. It was just so different. And I love the fact that it represented the Asian culture in certain ways, but it also represented Marvel's fantasy, Asian side of fantasy. And Simu Liu, he was just really great. I loved him. Awkwafina, she was funny. There was some controversy about her, you know, putting on her black voice in her show. And that's something that, you know, that's something that needs to be talked about. You know, we can't have actors talking. Because what made it kind of sting was that Awkwafina was like, I'm not doing anything that makes Asians look bad, you know, and I agree with that. You shouldn't do anything that makes a culture look bad if you're from that culture, especially. But if you're putting on a black voice in order to get laughs, in order to get ahead in Hollywood, well, that's something that you shouldn't do either. Now, her in the movie, I didn't hear any of that. She was pretty funny. And Simu Liu was just great. He was really great. And Tony Leung, that played his dad, man, that brother can act. So yeah, that I'm gonna talk about Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings later, but that's my number 9. And Doctor Strange is a movie that I can also watch over and over again. It's just something about that movie, something about seeing Doctor Strange just learn, you know, his techniques and, you know, his magic and stuff like that. And finally fighting, whatchamacallit, who was it, Dormammu, finally fighting him at the end. Not really fighting, but like, you know, giving him a choice. You want to do this or that. But I'm sorry if I spoiled that. I didn't mean to, but for now, those are my top 10. It might change because I really love Spider-Verse. I might move them up. I don't know. We'll see. Guardians of the Galaxy was excellent. Deadpool, you got to think about Deadpool, Logan. You know, it's just, I love First Class, X-Men First Class. I love that. So that's all the way down the list. Now, my intention is to finalize this list in December, and then I have to think about, because Mobius is coming in January, but I'm gonna stop it for 2021. I'm gonna stop it with No Way Home, and just publish it somewhere. I'll put it somewhere on Instagram or something like that. Again, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. You can find me at Geek's Old Brother, and you can basically look up, you should be able to look up this podcast too. I'm going to put the first episode up on Spotify, and you can find it on the Urban Socialites NJ.com, and just look for the Indie Live Music Radio link, and you can find us there at 6 p.m. It'll be playing live, so you can hear that, even though this is a pre-recorded show. You know, speaking of Spider-Verse, they got a new trailer out. I think it's Spider-Man Lost in Spider-Verse or something like that. Yo, how they gonna have Spider-Man 2099 come in and basically rescue Miles Morales? I'm excited. I'm so excited because the first one was so great. Everybody I know loves the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So I'm so excited to see, you know, Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen come back, and just some new characters. It's an open world. It's an open multiverse where they can just bring in anybody they want, and it's just going to be amazing. I can't wait. Sony, just do me a favor. Don't get high on the hog and think, you know, you got to do something to make money. I don't think it was about making money in the first Spider-Verse. I think you guys were really just concentrating on trying to make the best, most interesting, most original type of animation you could that was based on a Spider-Man character, Miles Morales. And I just don't mess it up. Don't mess up the second one. Don't go for the money. I'm telling you, go for the fans. It's all about the fans. In these genres, when you're making stuff for the geek community, for the geek audience or whatever, the nerd audience, you got to go for the fans. You cannot go for the money. I feel like Fox had made that mistake for a long time. They were just messing with the X-Men, and they figured, oh, let's do X-Men The Last Stand. Let's do the Phoenix series. No. You guys messed up so many. As a matter of fact, let me pose you guys a question. Let me pose my audience a question. Which was worse, X-Men 3, The Last Stand, or Spider-Man 3? The original Spider-Man 3. Which one was worse? I want you guys to tell me, because I'm a little stumped. I got a bunch of them for you. You know, I just gave you my top 10 of the Marvel comic book-based cinematic universe, but there's 66 movies, and when you start to get to what's the worst one that you... Is the worst one Elektra, or is the worst one Punisher with Dolph Lundgren? Who remembers that? 1989. Who remembers that? I don't know. I need you guys to give me some feedback. I need you guys to hit me on Twitter or Instagram or whatever and give me some feedback. But anyway, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I just saw a trailer for that. That looks interesting. I saw another trailer for Peacemaker from Suicide Squad. John Cena's going to come. I think it's an HBO special or something like that. And just a bunch of different trailers are coming out. That Mobius trailer, though, I can't wait to see Mobius. That looks good. And Jared Leto. he's gonna turn into a vampire. When he doesn't smile, he looks like a daggone vampire. He looks kind of, you know, he looks like he's staring at you and stuff like that. Handsome vampire, you know, Interview with the Vampire type vampire. But all right, I want to change subjects. I want to change a little bit and talk about. I was on Instagram the other day and I follow a few cosplayers. And one of them, named Royal Journey, she got on there. Now, she's really good at cosplaying. She's always coming up with nice fashion tips and nice cosplaying things and stuff like that. But she said she had on this red wig, looked really nice and whatever. But she said she was walking and she did an Instagram story where she was simply walking and some guy just was passing by her. And suddenly just attacked her, like, you know, snatched at her wig and actually hit the girl. And I'm like, first of all, it's disgusting. You know, violence against women is disgusting and whatnot. And, you know, I hope that our society works to eradicate it because it's really disgusting. And yes, you guys out there, there's violence, women's violence against men, but the percentages is much lower, and there's so many women that get attacked out there, and it's disgusting, and you know, we really need to do something about it. But it broke my heart that Journey was talking about this on Instagram. At first she was really mad, and then she, you know, afterwards that she got home, she was really upset and stuff. But the thing that really hit me in the heart is, like, she just goes out and is constantly you know, like verbally assaulted or catcalled, or, and I know you women out there. I know just about all of you women out there go into the street, and you're familiar with all of this, and it does disgust me and whatnot. I just can't stand it. And every time the subject comes up, whether guys are talking about it or women are talking about it, I'm always against it. I'm always against the violence against women in that respect. I just like I said, it just kind of hit me in the heart, because here, this woman's just trying to do her thing. She's literally just trying to go out there, try and take a few pictures of her cosplaying and whatnot. And this young lady just out of nowhere gets assaulted and whatnot. And it was. It was inspiring that she was actually going, trying to find the dude and trying to, you know, basically help the cops. Of course, she reported to the cops and so forth, but just trying to find the dude herself in order to help the cops find him or whatever. But it just was ridiculous that she said that she goes through being verbally assaulted, and I don't know about physically assaulted on the street, but it's disgusting if that happens more than once and whatnot. But a lot of women, I just want to tell you guys, if I'm around, of course I would do whatever I can to, you know, to protect whatever women were around at the time. I just hope you guys are safe, man, and to the fellas out there, you know, just protect the sisters, protect all the women out there that are, you know, in danger of this, in danger of being on the street. Street harassment is the worst thing. And just women, I'm not trying to sound this way or that. I just hope that I'm there to help. I hope that I myself am there to help and to step up and, you know, make sure that you guys are okay. So I just wanted to comment on that. And just like in the Comic Cons, like, you know, just because whatever a woman is wearing at a Comic Con is not consent to, you know, assault them in any type of physical way or anything like that. They don't need catcalls or anything like that. You know, you can compliment. Complimenting is different from, you know, just making them feel like, you know, just creeped out and stuff. So, you know, we gotta watch out for that. We gotta watch out for sisters and stuff like that. And I'll talk about that in other episodes, you know, body image and acceptance of different people you know, in different cosplaying arenas and fandom and stuff like that, you know, and just kind of fighting against people that want to just tear down other people that are just trying to enjoy the fandoms that they have. You know, I'm just not with it. And on another note, I just want to talk social, give a little social commentary about, you know, this Rittenhouse verdict. And again, maybe I don't know all the details, but I'm pretty sure that that was a messed up situation, that he travels to another state, dropped off by his parent with a semi-automatic or whatever he had, you know, some type of rifle that only the army should be using. And he kills two people, and he basically says that he was being attacked. Now, that trial and that verdict of him being innocent brought attention to a young lady, Crystal Kaiser, who had killed her sex trafficker, right? According to her story, had killed her sex trafficker, who was molesting her repeatedly, and other young girls, evidently as young as 12 years old. I was watching a video on it. Evidently as 12 years old. And was arrested. You know, she was arrested for killing her sex trafficker. And she's looking at facing life imprisonment. Now, some of the evidence does look, you know, like she premeditated it. But I'm like, if you're being sex trafficked, your mind, you're going to do some things. And I don't know. I once I heard the story, I started putting like different scenarios in my head. Now, what if her father was around and turned around and took this dude out? You know, would you still be looking at him as premeditated life imprisonment if he was protecting his daughter? Here's a girl trying to protect herself against continual sex trafficking, right? Continually being abused, being sexually molested or whatever. And I don't know. You have one situation with the Rittenhouse, and I just want to bring to light, because it's on Instagram and stuff like that, I want to bring to light Crystal Kaiser, who, you know, who's facing, like I said, life imprisonment for taking out her alleged sex trafficker. And we'll just have to see where this story goes. Enough people believe in her that they, you know, basically saved up money for her bail and so forth. We'll just have to see. We'll just have to see what happens and whatnot. But, you know, all love and prayers go to the young lady. From what I feel, she doesn't deserve life imprisonment. You know, this is a young lady. She wasn't even 18. She was 17 at the time. I don't know about life imprisonment for that. I don't know. The guy was a disgusting person. Not saying he deserved to die, but he was a very disgusting person, you know? So we'll just leave that where it is. I gotta talk to you guys. I want to talk to you guys about some movie reviews. It's been a long time since I've been back on the mic. And of course, I've seen a lot of movies over the year, but I'm just going to stick to a few that we've seen recently that I've seen and I liked. Again, Shang-Chi was phenomenal. Shang-Chi was phenomenal. It was a story that came out of nowhere. I didn't know it was going to be so good. I had a feeling it would be good. My only worry was that the martial arts, like, I felt like the acting was going to be good because I knew the actors that were in it. But I was worried about the martial arts, but Simu Liu, he is fantastic. He definitely was channeling his Jackie Chan spirit in some of his Jackie Chan essence in this movie. Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings, the whole thing itself, like the rings themselves, the father, where they came from. And something that this movie did that I'm going to talk about the Eternals in a minute, but something that this movie did, I felt like it separated itself enough from the Marvel Universe to be its own thing. but also connected itself very well to the Marvel Universe with some scenes in the middle of the movie and some scenes at the end, you know, after credit scenes. And I just feel like this is such a well-made movie. The music, and especially the fight at the end. This one I'm not going to spoil because... this one I don't want to spoil because it's still fairly new. A lot of you guys haven't seen it because you didn't know it was so good. But everybody... I haven't heard anybody that had, like, you know, kind of 50-50 wishy-washy thoughts on it. This movie, to me, was an excellent film. That's why for now, is definitely in my top 10 Marvel films and stuff. It captured what Marvel created back in the day, but without some of the racial stereotypes, we could say, that was in the original Marvel comics. You got the Fu Manchu looking, Mandarin, and it was just even Shang-Chi himself was kind of based on Bruce Lee, on the look of Bruce Lee. And from what I remember in the comics, he never smiled. He was always serious and stuff like that. And it was just, I'm glad that they kind of flipped it. And I'm glad that they had respect enough for the Asian community, just like they did kind of with Black Panther. They had enough respect that they definitely gave a good representation of what the Asian mythos in the Marvel comics could be if you updated it, if you were careful about racial stereotypes and stuff like that, and if you respected Asian culture and respected Asian fantasy, or at least Asian fantasy in the Marvel universe. So I was cool with that. The Eternals, on the other hand, The Eternals was a good movie, but did not do a good job connecting itself to Marvel Universe. A friend of mine, I agree with him. He said that the Eternals really should have been a prequel, where they really weren't well known to the rest of the characters in Marvel Universe, and that would have explained it, but. They didn't do that. They didn't quite do that. And I, you know, some of you that have seen it, I if you've seen it, fine. If you haven't seen it, that's fine. I'm not going to really spoil it, but there's some things in there that happen, and I'm like, how are they going to explain that? How are they going to explain the fact that nobody showed up in this movie? Doctor Strange didn't show up in Eternals. The Hulk didn't show up in Eternals. Like, nobody showed up in the Eternals to make it seem like they were connected to, but they were having trouble. They were fighting creatures and whatnot. They, originally in the comics, they were supposed to be fighting deviants, and in the movies, they're fighting deviants. There's a big problem with that. And then the comic nerds out there are like, "Well, Thanos is like a deviant. He's half deviant or whatever, half Olympian. What about that?" So they. I don't know. I just feel like they missed the target with it. That's all. Early this year we had Black Widow. Now Black Widow I liked. Scar Johansson. You know, she played, and this was a prequel. This basically said that this was a prequel because you know, something happens to Scarlet in Infinity War. Something happens to Scarlet, or not Infinity War, I'm sorry, Endgame, something happens to Scarlet and whatnot. So we had Black Widow, and it was pretty good, and the sister was great in Black Widow, and of course we're going to see more of her. I guess it's pretty much that she's going to take the place of Black Widow, but I didn't mind it at all. Let me switch to some of the TV shows that happened this year. You guys out there that are listening to this, I don't know if you're into the Marvel movies even a little bit. I suggest you watch some of the TV shows that have been coming on Disney Plus. This is not a plug. I'm not getting paid by anybody. I'm just a geek that likes to tell other geeks what they like. And the Marvel TV shows that are on Disney Plus, they're fantastic. Scarlet Witch and Vision, really great. Falcon and Winter Soldier set up for, you know, basically for what Falcon is, who he's, I'm not going to spoil any of this because it's still new. Scarlet Witch and Vision was great. Winter Soldier. But that What If series, now What If used to be a comic where you had a situation where the Avengers came together, but the What If comic would be with what if the Avengers never came together, what would have happened? Or what if Spider-Man didn't get bit by the spider? What if Gwen Stacy got bit by a spider or something like that? And I think the What If series is setting up a great plot, as also with Loki, as also with upcoming Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, is setting up stories for the multiverse. Even the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, setting up for a multiverse. But the What If series, the Loki series, WandaVision, basically, and what else is coming up? The Falcon Winter Soldier is pretty good, and Hawkeye is okay. I'm still in the middle of it. Everybody's still in the middle of it. At the time of this recording, it was only 3 episodes in, so we'll have to see what happens. But Loki and the What If series, oh my goodness, especially the end. If you watch anything, watch the end of the Loki series. It is fantastic, and we're going to see some stuff that comes out of that. What's his name? The brother that's at the brother that's in the, well, you just have to see it. I don't want to spoil it at all, but you guys just have to see it. It's pretty amazing. Getting back to movie reviews, I saw Resident Evil, and I'm going to tell you guys, this was not... Okay, so we've seen a bunch of Resident Evil movies, and they're all based on Alice, and they got worse and worse. They got more worse than as they progressed, right? Each movie that came out was worse. And this is if you guys even seen Resident Evil. I'm pretty sure most of you know about Resident Evil video game, played in the 90s, came out on the first PlayStation, I believe. And like I said, I'm not into games strongly, but I do love the platform. I do love the games that come out. Resident Evil started out pretty good back in the day, but then slowly every movie after it got worse and worse. Okay, we know that. Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, I think that's it. Welcome to Raccoon City. That was a reboot that was really focused on the game. Like, very focused on the game. I didn't play game heavily, but I've seen a lot of gameplay on it. And if you watch that movie, I think as a lover of the video game, I think you'll really appreciate it. Not that high budget, but I think that was intentional, being that the film was placed in the 90s. It was a period film. So it was placed in the 90s. They had beepers. They had Apple came out with a Palm Pilot that was pretty amazing at the time. At the time that came out, it was pretty amazing. And Resident Evil had some good scares in it. And it had all the characters. I'm not sure which characters were strong in the movie. I know Valentine, I think, was really strong in the games. Claire and who is it? Leon and maybe a couple others. They showed up in the movies, and they were actually in character. The characters were definitely reflective of what you found in the video game. So I would suggest any of you guys, I don't know how long it's going to be in theaters at the time of this recording. I don't know how long this recording should come out December 6th of 2021. And I don't know, you guys might like this. The other horror film that I would suggest that you watch is a James Wan directed film called Malignant. Now listen, listen. At first, I thought that this was a bad film. I was like, wow, this is a horrible film. But in the middle of it, the film kind of revealed what it was about. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This this film is going in an entirely different direction. And At first I thought it was crazy, but then I found out that James Wan wanted to do a kind of horror film that you would find on a VHS tape. And when I looked at the film a second time, I said, wow, this is actually reflective of his vision. This is something that you would find like Basket Case or, you know, or The Blob or something like that. This is a film that you would find in the 80s that was would be at Blockbuster or something like that, some little film at Blockbuster. So upon second watch, I would say that Malignant was a fairly decent horror film that you may enjoy. I don't know. If you like horror films, I would definitely check it out. I would definitely check it out. The last film I want to talk about is Candyman that came out a little while ago of this year. And what's his name? Yahya Abdul-Mateen and Tiana Paris. I kind of like that because it was a little bit not re-imaging of Candyman, but it kind of brought it up to date, which I liked. And there was such a great twist in there connected with the old movies and stuff. And the acting was really good. And I love Nia DaCosta's directing and how she kind of worked the angles and used the mirrors. That was really inventive. I love that. And it had a couple little jump scares, but I just felt like it was different. And the ending kind of flipped too. It kind of flipped a couple times with the ending of, I don't know, it's kind of turned into a superhero thing going on. I don't want to spoil it, but it definitely was an ending that I didn't quite see. Some people said it was a little bit cliche, but the movie itself talked about spoke about revisiting the gentrification of neighborhoods, stuff like that, and it kind of talked about that as being cliche in the art world and stuff like that. So I liked how it kept flipping on itself and flipping these ideas and stuff like that. Jordan Peele, he helped produce it, I believe, and it just had a different feel to it, and I liked it. And I suggest if you really like horror that you should go back and watch it. So my hour is almost up. I've been very happy to get back on the mic, and shout outs to all the people, all my friends, all my family, everybody that really supports me and wants me to get back on the mic. This is an introduction. I'm gonna tell you guys right now, I'll work for the show to get better and better. I really love doing interviews with interesting people, writers and whoever, directors, comic creators. I think I know a lot of people that would love to come on the show, and I feel like I know a lot of people that that you, the listeners, would love to hear from. Just interesting stories that I think you guys would love. So look forward to that. I look forward to interacting with my audience. I look forward to connecting with people again, people on Twitter and Instagram and my other social medias. And I look forward to just building a podcast that just focuses on things that you love. It's your fandom fix. And I just want to give you everything that you love about fandom. So until then, I guess I'll see you later. Come back next Monday. You'll hear another episode, a new episode. I don't know what my topic is. I don't know what my topic is at the moment, but I have so many topics. and I'll definitely get to them in upcoming shows. And I look forward to a new year. I hope you guys have a great holiday. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And find me on Spotify. Find me on Urban Socialites NJ.com. And just look for the Indie Live Music Radio. I'm just looking forward to making a new show. And I just thank you all for listening. And just stay tuned for more from Geek Soul Brother. Talk to you guys later. Peace.